Super Speedway.
On the wall up top, three back, the six. Still down there. Ooh, ooh.
The fucker ran over us twice. The last four laps. Did I miss something there, or no?
I've not seen it yet. Just bring it to us if we can fix this piece of shit.
Got no brake. Got no brake.
Just shit. The rotor is probably fucking broke. Look at the right front rotor and see if it's broke. Okay. Take it to the garage.
Welcome to episode 281 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush, who may very well fire me at this moment. I'm so frustrated right now. I am with Chase Elliott's crew. We need to take it to the garage, James.
Oh, man. The podcast did go to the garage, but we're back. We're a few laps down, but we're making laps. We're learning on the fly here.
As you guys are listening to this, we have already done half of the podcast tonight, but the dumbass who runs the equipment over here that changes things every week, that would be me, did not hit record on the recorder. And funniest thing, James, is you know how many times I've looked over at it to look at the levels and didn't notice that the red light wasn't on.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll bang this thing out in less than an hour. I don't know. We're going to find out.
I know. I'm starting to debate, like, how much do we go back through the stuff we already, because it's not going to be genuine when the way we go back through it.
Nah, so. Let's make it happen. Maybe we can.
Yeah.
Do you want to, you know what, Eric, I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
I fake it like 99% of the time anyway. I can do this. I got you, man. I'll carry you. I'll carry you through.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I am a terrible actor, so there is no way I can repeat what I've already done. If it's not genuine, you can tell it's not genuine. So,
well, let's see what we can do. Fire it up. Where do you want to start?
My God.
Let's hit it.
Well,
let's hit it.
I don't remember what all stuff we talked about before we got at the Coca-Cola 600. So we'll just talk about the Coca-Cola 600, James.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. This is going to be such deja vu. Now the whole podcast I'm going to be going, did I already say that?
Listen, here's the order of events. Let's just see if we can run through it, and then we'll divulge.
Yeah.
So we got through talking about Blaney.
Yes.
We decided we needed to run the Coke 600 on a Monday every year. We talked about that.
Yes, we
had a good conversation about Tony Stewart, which I usually do every right. every week.
I gave credit to the Fox broadcast for being a great broadcast as well.
And
as
we
the
were just both
500.
Yep, and we were just extremely outraged over Chase Elliott. We finally got to that point, and now we are here starting it over.
Well, you know what? Since we've already done this and we're already heated about the Chase Elliott thing, let's start there. And then we'll go back to Blaney. So those of you listening to this, we did not bury the lead. We did start with Blaney as the winner. Unfortunately, we didn't record it. So let's talk about Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin, because that's where we left off.
Yes, sir.
That none of you guys got to hear. As we already recorded, Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin get together, coming off of turn four. Hamlin runs Elliott wide. Chase right hooks Denny, puts him in the wall, and earns himself a one-week vacation from NASCAR as a result. And James and I both agree that there was nothing else NASCAR could do here in this situation.
Hands are tied. Yes, sir. Hands are tied. We saw it with the Bubba Wallace incident last year at Kansas and saw it here again. It's unacceptable, man. It's just not, you know, I know what Chase Elliott means to the sport as the most popular driver. And this has been a tough year and all these things. But, Eric, you were clear on this, and I'll reiterate what you said. If it's not clear now, it better be going forward.
Yeah.
Because
the precedent is definitely set. You know, if you're going to right hook somebody on the straightaway or anywhere, you're going to get sat. And I think I said, you know, the left hook gets you points. The left hook gets you points, fine.
Points and money, yeah.
Points and money, but the right hook gets you sat. And that, I mean, James, I know I'm not a big fan, because I like the controversy. I don't want to see people wreck each other on purpose, but at the same time, you know, I'm here for the chaos too. But I think this is the right thing to do. I don't think this is finding Dale Jr. for saying the S word in victory lane after a race. This is This is a penalty that needs
this
to be done.
This is dirty.
And I think it's an acceptable penalty.
Yep.
For the situation. And I think it was pretty blatant. I think there was nobody at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Oh, that was my line. Nobody at Charlotte Motor Speedway or anywhere else except the Dawsonville pool room that didn't think that Chase Elliott did this on purpose.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And this is, you know what this is, Eric? It's dirty and dangerous.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, one thing that I want to make sure we reiterate again here is the violence of the hit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we saw Ryan Preece getting that wreck at Talladega from the in-car camera and that camera moved, the violence of this wreck at the speeds that they're going and hooking into that dangerous dog leg. I mean, yeah. Eric, lives have been taken in that dog leg. Multiples. I mean, that's back in our,
Really good point. I mean, that is, so there was somebody that went really in the weeds on Twitter today. I was searching for Chase Elliott just to see if there'd been anything announced. And somebody pointed out that it was ironic that the guy who right hooked somebody was teammates with a driver who honored somebody who was killed in the same fashion previously. And I had to ask him the question. I said, you're too far in the weeds for me. I don't understand. Blaze Alexander was wrecked here in the same fashion and died. And Jimmy Johnson ran a tribute on his car, his entire career for Blaze Alexander.
Entire career. Yep.
Which I didn't know.
Yes, the skull, the fiery skull on the left front fender.
Yep. So, and it's a good point that, you know, that's I think something that's gotten away from us in this era of safety that we have is how dangerous this used to be to do something like this.
And Eric, it's dangerous now with this car.
Oh yeah.
We're just
one wrong hit away from being right back where we were, you know. I
feel like we are biding our time still. Maybe new fans don't think that way. But I think
you lived through the 90s, you did.
Yes. You and I are pre, you know, it's like BC and, you know, before Christ and after Christ, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's before Dale Sr. and there's after Dale Sr. And you and I are of the before Dale Sr. era. And we remember Davey Allison on one hot night hitting the wall right there, hitting his helmet against that wall and coming back, somehow coming back because he was one tough SOB. But I mean, we remember these things, man. We were there for all that stuff. Yeah. And we were there, you know. People love seeing Carl Edwards back at Darlington, but he had a couple of the dirtiest front stretch crashes of all time on poor Brad Keselowski on the receiving end. And kind of ironically enough, he was front row for this one.
Right.
But I know Denny's been on his soapbox doing Denny things and it's irritating at times, but you know, the more I think about it, and I'm actually glad we're re-recording because as I think more and more about it, if that were me and my life kind of flashed before my eyes in that way, or my career at least at the, you know, I'd be pissed off too. And I'd be calling for his head on a plate as well. I mean, it's one of the more dirty things we've seen. And Bubba's was pretty filthy too.
Yeah.
Bubba chased Larson down.
Right.
This was pretty instantaneous. And I think if we were to ask Chase Elliott in an honest moment, I think he would have said he immediately regretted it. After he did it. But he'll never say it. But
no, you know, here's the thing. Like it's one thing to wreck somebody so if you're pissed off and you go into the next turn and you hit him in the left rear and turn him around, that's one thing. You're still giving them a chance to save that. You're setting your message, but they've got a chance to save. There is no saving a right hook. I mean, there is nothing that Denny Hamlin could have done. He was wrecking in that situation. You just don't give a guy a chance. And that is just blatant, disregard. And it needs to be penalized. And NASCAR, I'm so happy did the right thing. I was so worried they weren't going to do the right thing. I felt like they had to. They had to.
Yeah.
And even the Chase Elliott fans are saying it, you know?
I mean, well, the common, the ones with common sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that don't.
Well, what was Denny's line? Some of them are sane, most of them aren't.
Yeah. You know, I think of later in this race, one of the highlights of the late parts of this race was watching Stenhouse and Kyle Busch, and they were rough with each other. Mm-hmm. And we always joke about Ricky Stenhouse, right?
Yeah.
But even Ricky Stenhouse doesn't, you know, he can race rough with Kyle Busch and race hard.
Don't get me wrong. I think he was trying to spin Kyle too, but he at least was doing it on the left side. He was doing it in the left rear, and Kyle had a chance to drive out of it, and he did.
And yep, they were both basically wrecking each other all the way around the dang track.
And that situation too is another one of those in my mind that, okay, Ricky took the swipe at him. He didn't get it done. And then he stopped because you don't get a second chance.
That's right.
If you fail on the first chance, you don't get another one.
That's right, unless you're Denny Hamlin at Gateway a year ago.
Right, yeah.
Well, wrecking every single
lap. Well, that was a little much, too.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, though.
At least, he wasn't really wrecking him so much as he was just being obnoxious.
Yes,
That was a good day. I like annoying Denny a little bit.
He can be an entertainer, that's for sure.
He definitely got it. We talk about Ross Chastain having his name in the headlines, but Denny's done a pretty damn good job this year.
Well, Denny's always on the receiving end of everybody else's pain, apparently. Right. I don't know. You know, we should mention, though, so what's going to happen here? So yeah. Chase Elliott's gone. One week.
The best part about this is totally who's getting the shot. Who's getting the shot, James?
Two guys are getting a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So Corey LaJoie takes over the 9 car because Josh Berry's out in Portland. So Corey LaJoie gets his first legit shot with a top tier team. Amazing. This is going to be fun.
Amazing.
And replacing him in the 7.
He's getting
the
Jimmy Means treatment. If you remember, Jimmy Means got to drive for Hendrick once.
Yes.
This is the Jimmy Means treatment.
Yeah. And you think of some of the guys who've gotten good tier rides. Like, this is Kenny Wallace replacing Ernie Irvin.
Yeah.
It's
Darrell Waltrip in the 1 car when Steve.
Yeah,
Buckley's
man.
Hurt, you know,
he was really good in that 1 car too.
Yeah.
Yep. So LaJoie gets his first real, we get to really see Corey LaJoie and what he can do here. But also on a very exciting for, you know, Michigan guys like ourselves, getting the call up to the 7 car is Carson Hocevar. So he will get his cup debut, this coming weekend at a track where I think a year ago, he was busted up pretty good.
Yeah.
So Carson Hocevar gets to take over the 7. So this is pretty you know, one bad thing happens, but we got some pretty cool stuff happening here with Corey and Carson coming up. So this is going to be an interesting weekend. I'm kind of excited to see what Corey can do.
I did see a tweet today, this afternoon. Carson Hocevar getting a cup seat because someone right-reared a guy and got suspended is a level of irony I cannot handle. for those who might be lost on that, Carson has done his share of right hooking and also got penalized for it, though he did not have to sit a week as a result. He lost three laps, I think, or something like that, a couple laps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he will now if that happens again. So don't do it again. No.
I like to give him a hard time, but I'll give credit where it's due. Kicking the Tires had a thing they put up today where they went back and over the last like 3 years. Looked at all of the retaliation, on-track retaliation that's occurred. And NASCAR has been pretty consistent with the right hook. It doesn't happen very often. And only a couple times have people gotten away with it with no penalty. This is only the second time we've sat a guy because of it. But they have generally, I mean, they've generally penalized somewhat for a right hook over the last few years. So this is not unprecedented by any means.
The only left hook suspension I can remember is Matt Kenseth, two races, but he was
that
more
wasn't
so
a right hook. That was a we. I came that back on the track to completely take you out.
And that was a championship altering
incident
that took Joey Logano completely out of the championship. I think NASCAR sent a big message to everybody with that one. So
yeah, I think you could argue. I could argue. I have no problem. Had no problem with the 2 race suspension on that. But I could also get behind a 1 race suspension on that too.
I don't think Matt Kenseth cared.
Right. I think going back in history, like if we were to adjudicate that now, I think he'd be sitting for a race, not 2.
But I think you
couldn't argue against that either. That was another one of those where you're like, yeah, he's not racing next week. There's no way he's racing next week. And you know, these guys shouldn't put NASCAR in these situations. Don't make NASCAR make the call. Like I said, there's nothing NASCAR could have done. They either would have angered the majority of their fan base, or they have to have integrity. And the only way to have integrity was to penalize Chase and have him sit.
Yep. NASCAR's not going to suspend you for having a scuffle on pit road after the race.
No.
You know what I mean? So.
Heck, in most instances, you're not even going to get a monetary fine for that.
Yep.
So, we already talked about this, but we didn't record it. There was also other controversy during this race. Eric Almirola and Bubba Wallace get into it as well, pushing and shoving during one of the rain delays. Biggest thing here, I think, is just Bubba flipped the bird again.
Bubba doing Bubba stuff.
Bubba needs to put the bird away and stop flipping it. Denny said it on his podcast this week too, that it's childish and just unnecessary. Bubba Wallace has continued to put together good weekends, has had good finishes the last 3 weeks, and this is what we're talking about. So finished fourth in this one.
Was really good. Yeah, man. He was really good late. That was the surprising thing of how hard he came on late. And it's tough because you want to root for Bubba, but then he's just kind of silly. And, you know, I don't know if anybody in the garage is fighting with Eric Almirola very often.
Right.
But apparently him and Bubba have some history, which is fine. That happens. And I think they handled it all right. But that dang security guard, the same guy.
I know,
man,
he's everywhere.
There's got to be more than one of that guy
somewhere.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. I had a laugh about that. I think Clint Bowyer was a little frustrated as well with that. So
I know a lot of people don't like Clint in the booth, but I love Clint, period. I just think Clint is awesome.
He has his moments, and, you know, you and I were talking a little bit ago about how him and Tony had a really good, just really good camaraderie in the booth, and how Tony's going to, you know, feels like Tony's actually going to miss this. I do think when Kevin Harvick comes in, I think he's going to do just fine with Clint. And,
I think so too.
Clint's had a lot of reps now, and I think he knows how to handle it up there. So he'll be fine.
He's enough goofy and enough knowledgeable. He does a good job with the analysis as well. I think DW got too cartoony. Michael Waltrip is Michael Waltrip. I think that Clint does a really good job of balancing the goofiness, and you feel like Clint is there to have a good time and help you have a good time, but not there to be the clown. You know, I guess that's the best way I can explain it. And, you know, I was there in the media center at Clint's last win. I remember enjoying how goofy he was after that win. So, you know, I've got a little bit different perspective of it too, because of that and seeing him in the media center and seeing how he acts. And he's not putting on an act in the booth, man. That's Clint.
Right. Yep. That's who he is. Exactly. 100%.
He's just being Clint. So, but he's the same guy that when I pulled in the park at Michigan, I think that same weekend, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours before the race, was running with his shirt off, you know, putting his time in and, you know, working out before the race. So, you know, he's still dedicated. Yep. Was dedicated too. So, Ryan Blaney gets the win here. Finally wins again in the Cup Series, breaks a 59 race winless streak. Winless streaks kind of the theme of the weekend here in the NASCAR series at Charlotte. Eighth victory for Ryan Blaney. Very popular win. We saw emotion from Blaney at the end of the race. You could tell this one meant something for him for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, with Ryan Blaney, you know, one of the things I want to make sure we go back and say is Ryan's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
He's not everybody's favorite driver, but he ain't far down the list either.
Right.
He's either your favorite or he's your up to your third favorite. And I think the guys in the garage feel the same way. You know, as disappointed as we were in Bubba for, you know, doing Bubba stuff, he's happy for his friend too.
Yeah.
And there's not, I can't think of anybody in the garage who doesn't like Blaney, and I don't know any fans who don't like Blaney either. So, popular win for sure. This was a dominant win, but he had to earn it too. And, it was just an impressive race all around. I think it was a really good sign for him moving forward. I think for Ford too, this was a big win, and obviously for the captain, getting two wins in one day, Yeah. Or one weekend, I should say.
Yeah, first time he's ever. Done
that. Yeah. Yep. So I mean, this was a big milestone win for Ryan Blaney. He gets one of the marquee races here, and just a cool overall, just a feel good win, man. We don't get a lot of those very often anymore, because I think, you know, a lot of the same guys are winning races all the time, but Blaney sprinkles them in, and every time he does, it gives you some feel good.
Yeah, and he always seems like he's on the cusp. Like, you're never surprised when he gets it together and gets the win. I feel like his entire career has been, well, he's going to get it. He's going to get that win. You know, we've always been like that with Blaney. We were like that when he was in the 21 car. We've been like that since he's come over to Penske.
He won't give this one away.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, you know, and that's funny too. It's, you know, we chatted a little bit earlier about how William Byron in that pit stall, we thought for sure Byron might steal this thing because of how dominant that team is and how good that pit stall selection was for them. But, you know, Blaney was really consistent, really good. He hooks the bottom, gets the break on the caution flag, and that's all she wrote, man. He was able to get his lane choice, and he was gone from there. Not much. And, you know, too, when you're beating that 24 car this year, you're beating probably the cream of the crop right now.
Well, he's doing it in a Ford, which the Fords have struggled too, you know?
Yes. Yeah. He went toe to toe with Byron and Larson, before Larson spun. And then obviously, you know, some of the Toyotas were really good. You know, 2311 was up there. Martin Truex was up there. So, yeah, this was a well-earned victory, man. He had to go get it. So that was a really good sign for him moving forward.
Last year, this race was arguably one of, if not the best race of the season. We crowned Kansas with that a couple weeks ago. I thought this was a pretty damn good race for 600 miler. It was for a 600 miler that was held on Monday. It was very intriguing to me. I really enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I was bored at any point during the race. Did we match Kansas? Did we match last year's 600? What do you think of what we got here?
I'd say we're probably the next step down.
Yeah,
I think so. Right there. Yeah, we're right there, but not quite there. But this was good. This was a good day.
So Dale Jr., what did Dale Jr. have to say?
Yeah, Dale Jr. tweeted out that, you know, with the 1.5-mile package being as good as it is, do we put the Roval on ice for a couple of years? Which
I know was your funny opinion on it.
Really? I like the Roval, but I hadn't thought of it. So yeah. I kind of agree with Dale Jr., but I don't have any problems with the Roval, but
I disagree.
This is pretty good racing, man. This is good racing.
The reason I disagree with Dale Jr. is that I still stand by that if you're going to have two races at a track, you better have something different.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
Unless you're Daytona or Talladega, in my opinion. You can super speedway can get away with it, even though now that we got six with Atlanta, I'm starting to question that a little bit too. But there needs to be something different, and I don't think 200 miles less is enough different to justify racing twice here on the oval. I like the Roval too. I think the Roval is really, I think it's not as good right now with this car, but I think the Roval may have been one of the best road course races we had last year, despite this car. So I think it puts on a good show, and I'd hate to see them stop racing there. But that being said, man, I joked yesterday, no more short tracks. Let's just more mile and a halfs. But damn, they've been the track this year. I'm looking forward to Michigan, man. I think I'm excited about Michigan this year.
I'm telling you what, man, it's funny how your opinions can change just because of you get, you know, you sprinkle a little feel good.
We're just never damn happy is what it is. NASCAR starts getting rid of mile and a half, and we're like, no, we want more of them.
Yeah, I know. Well, they finally fixed them, and now, you know, it's, I mean, the racing has been really good on them. We don't get a stinker too often.
Mm-mm.
And you want to hang on to that. You want to hang on to that while you can. It's just tough, man.
One thing that's worth noting here too, and I don't know how much it affected because it certainly got washed off. But they put resin down again here, which we haven't seen the resin in a while now since we switched to this new car. And I'll tell you what, man, they were running against the wall at Charlotte.
Yep.
And again, I first of all, I think PJ1 is dead. Let's put the PJ1 away.
I think so.
But the resin seems to do a good job wherever we put it. So I think we just need to keep putting that stuff down.
Yep. Yep. I was, you know, we've got lanes, we've got different grooves.
Yeah.
I think you'll see some of that at Michigan, like you said. What's funny is I was looking at the schedule and we don't have a whole lot of these coming back.
No. That's the thing is like we've gotten rid of so many mile and a halves over the last couple of years that,
I mean, you go all the way, Eric, like Atlanta used to be, not anymore. So you have Nashville, I guess, before that. Then you go all the way to Michigan. Then you go all the way to Kansas, then Texas. So yeah, we're, towards the end of the year. Yeah. We get Texas and Vegas and Homestead, but yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, right.
But you know, I'm looking forward. You know, I like the stretch of the schedule though that we're in.
Yeah.
Especially with the Coke 600 being good. Ever since Kansas, we've had a really nice run here. Kansas, Darlington, Charlotte. Then we go to Gateway, Sonoma, Nashville, and we're going back to the old Sonoma. Thank God.
Right.
So let's have some fun there.
I agree, but I also have a problem with the summer stretch because as somebody who has kids and wants to take a vacation and go to a NASCAR race during the summer, when the kids are out of school and I don't have to take them out of school to go, there's not a lot of good opportunities for mile and a half tracks.
Well, we used to have one in our backyard, then they took one away. Maybe they'll give it back to us. Who knows?
I doubt it very much. We're going to do the Atlanta trip this summer. But again, not the traditional mile and a half anymore. And
that's right.
Pretty limited on options unless you want to go sit at a road course or go across the country. For summertime. Right. So I don't know. I think we're going to see some changes next year though. So we'll see. Certainly on the subject of, we'll talk about Indy a little bit, but it really sounds like we're going to be back on the oval there next year. So, that'll be interesting, but, other things worth mentioning in this race, certainly some shout outs to be given here. How about Kyle Busch ends up sixth place after spinning and riding halfway around the track backwards. Haven't watched it yet, but there's a YouTube video I found today, which is just a compilation of Kyle Busch driving backwards after spinning. So people forget this is not a new thing for Kyle.
Yeah, Kurt used to do it too.
Yeah.
Kurt used to celebrate backwards. Remember that?
Yeah.
He used to drive that. Yeah.
Well, Kyle is a Days of Thunder fan, and there's the famous scene with Cole Tricker on the 51 car driving backwards with transmission problems. So I'm pretty sure that's where Kyle gets that from.
Yeah, Kyle actually did a tweet a little while ago that was...
of course.
Calling back to that. He's good at that. He's good at that.
We mentioned Ricky Stenhouse Jr. having a run-in with him. He finishes seventh, 23-11, both top fives, fourth and fifth for them. Ty Gibbs definitely needs a shout-out, ran really well in this race. Finished 26th, got caught up in somebody else's mess, but terrific run for him. Continues to impress.
I think he's going to win a race this year.
I think so.
I think he's going to maybe have a shot at one.
And if he doesn't, he's had such a good year without winning one right now that it's been great.
Yep. He's done a very good job so far. Very mature. He hasn't gotten into any crap.
Yep.
He's just been driving smart and driving well. And I think this is the rookie year that he needed to have. Absolutely.
Yep. Roush, Fenway, Keselowski, both cars ran really well. Brad didn't get the finish, but certainly ran up front, despite complaining about William Byron pitting. And then Chris Buescher was able to step it back up at the end after being kind of non-existent through he won the one stage and then was non-existent through the rest of the race until the end when he managed to come up to eighth place at the end. So, Zane Smith gets a top 10 finish. Justin Haley ran really well in this one, finished in 15th. JJ Yaley, 16th. Corey LaJoie, 17th. Some good runs out of some guys that maybe you don't normally expect. So,
yep.
And, old Jimmy Johnson, second race of the season, second last place finish, James.
Oh, poor Jimmer.
So I'm telling you,
you know, Kyle Larson spun out by himself too, but nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Nobody says he's, you know, a rusty goat.
I'm telling you, man, should have just stayed as team owner.
There was one point in the race where Legacy Motor Club was, the three last spots on the grid. Thankfully, Eric Jones limped it up to 32nd.
Right.
But other than that, it was a rough day. Yeah. Rough day for the boys at the Legacy Motor Club.
Well, both the 42 and the 84 going out at pretty much the same time.
Well, Jimmy's going to Le Mans. He's going to be fine. He's got bigger things to bigger things going. His average finish right now is 35th. Oh, it's never been worse.
Man, I said this is why I didn't want him to come back.
That's fine. It's just
I don't like it.
Eric, the man can do whatever he wants.
I know he can, but
I stand by that.
I don't like it.
You can't tarnish the legacy of 7 championships. Well, I mean, you can.
I mean, I watched I watched Richard Petty drive around with a towel in his mouth and barely make races or not make races. Yeah. So,
but he also got a whole season's worth of being celebrated too at the end, though he was out there, you know, slumming around. So.
I suppose. Yep, celebrated and with provisionals.
Well, that too. But Jimmy Johnson can do what he wants. I always give him the free pass. He's fine.
Ty Gibbs was still your highest finishing rookie with his 26th place finish. Ross Chastain's your points leader. 1 point over Ryan Blaney.
1 point, yeah. We mentioned that earlier. I forgot about that. Ryan Blaney, that's how good his season's been. He's crept up to almost first in points with this win now, too. So, nice day. 64 points on the biggest points day of the year.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Nobody the rest of the season will earn that many points. So, that's a pretty good day.
Yes, it is. There you go. There's your Cup Series race. We finally got back through everything we went through already.
We're caught up. Good job.
I think shorter and more concise. Maybe we should record twice every week.
Maybe we should. Let's rip through Xfinity and trucks and go to bed.
Well, I mean, I guess it's fitting that this podcast is taking us longer to record because the weekend did. Justin Allgaier gets himself a win in as James coins at the 48 hours of Charlotte.
Or was it more? Was it like 72 hours of Charlotte?
It was a lot.
A lot, yeah.
26 race win a streak snapped by Justin Allgaier. Dale Jr. said on his podcast today that he's happy that now Adam Alexander will stop talking about the fact that Junior Motorsports hasn't won this season because he was sick of hearing it. So, 83 laps led in this one. Pretty dominating performance. Only 4 guys led laps in this race. Yeah. I think this is one of the rare times we can say the Cup race was certainly better than the Xfinity race.
Yes, it was.
It might have had to do with the, 6-hour delay in the middle of the race for the Cup Series to run.
Yes. And you also make sure you call Kyle Busch a coward again.
Yes, I did call Kyle Busch a coward for bailing on running 900 miles to make Justin Haley do it instead.
Yep.
So
seven drivers on the lead lap in this one by the time it was all said and done. Good Lord.
Yeah. And this is another one that, you know, we've just been waiting for it to happen. First of all, waiting for Junior Motorsports to get back in victory lane and Justin Allgaier to get another win in the Xfinity Series. Good win for him. Nice looking car, too. I love the patriotic paint schemes we see. John Hunter Nemechek leads 57 laps, finished second. Ty Gibbs also led 52 laps in this one, winds up fifth.
Where did Parker Retzlaff come from, by the way? That was a great run for them.
Yeah, he was good. All around, just good all day.
Both Jordan Anderson cars were good, man. Jeb Burton's up there. Yeah.
Carson Hocevar ran well in this one. Eighth place finish.
Yep, he had a great run.
Yep, now he's a Cup Series driver.
Now he's a Cup, yeah. Look at him go, man.
So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about here. It was kind of the afterthought of the weekend, but... props to NASCAR. NASCAR got every single lap of every race in this weekend.
Yep, NASCAR and Fox. Good work.
Yeah, yep, man. Can you imagine those guys at Fox
working
all day? And I give props to NASCAR for one, too. They called the Xfinity race early. Not only that, but they postponed it till Monday so the teams could go back to the shops and work on their Portland cars on Sunday. When the forecast was already bad on Sunday, it was obvious they weren't racing Sunday. So just... credit to NASCAR for making a smart decision, and I'm sure Fox had a lot to do with that too. Just all around smart. And plus, I mean, you don't want to put the Xfinity race up against the Indy 500, right? I mean,
no,
that'd be kind of dumb. No.
Yeah, nobody's gonna watch that. Yeah.
So there you go. There's your NASCAR Xfinity Series recap. It is his 20th victory for Justin Allgaier. Parker Retzlaff was our highest finishing rookie with a 6th place finish. And John Hunter Nemechek is your points leader by 10 points over Austin Hill in the Xfinity Series.
Excellent.
Camping World Truck Series actually ran on time and when they were supposed to. And on the theme of winless streaks, 27 race winless streak snapped by Ben Rhodes, who gets the win in the Craftsman Truck Series at Charlotte
on Friday.
Snapping
streaks all over, man. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Another one that was just kind of like, it's going to happen eventually. You got to get it soon. Not surprising to see Ben Rhodes in victory lane. And trying to find the actual numbers here. Where the hell is NASCAR got the... There they are. Jeez, the results are at the end. 37 laps led for Ben Rhodes. Not quite dominating because Corey Heim led more, as did Carson Hocevar, who ran really well in this one, too.
Yep. Carson,
he's turning himself around right now. He's, I mean, obviously he's getting the look for this weekend to run in the Cup car, which probably has a lot to do with the way he's run the last four or five weeks. I mean, he's just really, he got the chance in that Xfinity car and he's just kind of really stepped up the maturity level in, you know, a matter of just a few races. And it's been impressive to see, which is good because it's getting frustrated with the kid. It's nice to see him doing what he should be doing. So,
yep, absolutely.
There you go. That's our recap from Charlotte over the weekend. I don't think I have anything to add there. On to the news, we talked about the Chase Elliott situation, so nothing really to talk about there. Indy 500 on Sunday, Joseph Newgarden gets his first Indianapolis 500 victory. But I wanted to talk about the finish, James, because NASCAR or IndyCar kind of pulled a NASCAR. And red flagged the race with two laps to go, parked cars on pit road, and then pulled off of pit road, came around to get the green flag and the white flag to run one lap shootout to finish this race. This was after multiple restarts at the end, where we saw several crashes, very similar to a NASCAR race. What were your thoughts? I don't know how much of the Indy 500 you got to watch, if any.
Yeah, I was traveling, so I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but I was listening to it. Yeah, and we've seen F1 do this too.
Yeah.
So, you know, NASCAR's influence on on messing up the ends of races, I guess. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I guess. And if you're like me and you only watch a handful of IndyCar races a year, I guess. I don't know what do you say? I mean, it's exciting. I don't think IndyCar would be doing that five years ago.
No.
But
here's the thing with me with IndyCar is I want IndyCar to get over this. This whole, the Indy 500 is a pure event. It's purity, and we need to, you know, be traditional and blah, blah,
sounds
blah.
Sounds like F1 does that.
It's like, okay, you guys have run the course on that. That is over with. And IndyCar can sit there and stand on its high horse all it wants about being, you know, the pure form of motorsports. But they have pushed to pass. They've got, you know, different tire combinations. They did side-by-side restarts for a while. They've pulled off all the stops and all the gimmicks that NASCAR has done for the most part, other than stages, other than green, white checkers and overtime. Fans want to see a green flag finish, and I don't have any problem with what they did here. I guess if I was Marcus Ericsson, I'd be pretty pissed too.
Yep.
But, you know, I think they gave everybody, those drivers up front, a fair shot to make a run for it. And obviously Newgarden was in the better position, being second on the back stretch. Around the last lap, that's where you want to be at Indy. But, you know, Dale Jr. talked today about that he didn't like the way it felt or the way it was, and he thought maybe they should stop counting caution laps in like the last 10 laps of the Indy 500 or something like that. But he doesn't think they should do green, white checkers. And it's like, it's the same damn thing, Dale. Like,
yeah, it is.
There's no difference. But yep. I think this whole finishing under caution stuff, it's run its course. I'm sorry. It's sports entertainment, and whether you get icky over that statement because of WWE or not, that's what this is. We are in an entertainment industry, and if you're not going to entertain the fans, if you're not going to give them a good finish, they're going to leave unhappy. And so you need to give them a shot to race to the green or race to the checkers under green. I think they did that under the circumstances, and I really wish, and I know they won't, but I really wish IndyCar would step up and make the decision to adopt an overtime procedure or something to guarantee this race finishes under green, or at least guarantee a shot at it, you know?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. It's tough, man. I think Indy is so dangerous. It's the one thing that gives me pause, you know? I mean, we saw it.
I agree.
Firsthand.
Yeah.
It's super, I mean, it's just a super, I know we were talking earlier about how dangerous NASCAR is with some of these wrecks, but IndyCar, man, is such a dangerous, I don't know. I mean, what those guys are doing there and the speeds that they're running, it scares me watching it. But
we still start them three wide on a start.
We certainly do. You know? Yes, we certainly do.
I mean, so I don't buy the whole that it's more dangerous on the last lap than it is with two to go. And
I agree.
And we still run the last lap anyway if there's not a caution. So I don't. It just, to me, it doesn't make a
difference. It's hard. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, Eric, because I don't know if I like the idea of a green-white checkers for Indy because of that, because you're loading the gun with more bullets, you know, and it seems wrong in IndyCar for some reason, but I agree we should be entering, you know,
Nothing sucks more than spending 3 hours watching something.
Oh my God.
There's a reason that hockey doesn't end in a tie anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, that's right.
You don't want to sit there to see not a conclusion. But anyway, another popular win. Obviously Joseph Newgarden's an American too, which was cool to see. Real great celebration runs up in the crowd and kind of influences the celebrations of the two Xfinity Series and the Cup Series races as well. But just all around awesome emotion out of him and a great win. Cool to see. So
yep,
the Indy 500 did not disappoint.
No, and the ratings were up again, and it seems to gain the momentum as one of the most popular events in the country. You know, every year it's not going away now, which is really good. IndyCar was in a pretty bad spot not that long ago, and it's a once a year sport for the most part, but it's really big when it goes. So that's really good to see.
Yeah, we'll see if there's 350,000 people in Detroit this weekend when they race on the streets.
That's exactly right.
That being said, 350,000 people, 320,000 of those people are there watch the race. The other 30,000 are in the snake pit.
Wait till I get to my shout outs. Cause I'm going to show you the snake pit.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I don't think there's any other news. I mean,
I've been checking. We're good. Yeah.
With the old Chase Elliott situation. Props to NASCAR. Oh, one other thing I'd like to bring up. First of all, props to NASCAR for making a decision this early in the week, especially when we raced on Monday. Not making us wait till Wednesday or Thursday to find out. But so during the race, I forget who it was, but they lost they had a wheel go out of the pit stall during the IndyCar race, and IndyCar during the race assessed a monetary fine and did not penalize the driver with a pass through penalty. And I thought, how great is that? Like, why can't NASCAR have a couple people in the tower that their responsibility is to assess these penalties, and then we know before we leave the track, before the race is even over, that Chase Elliott's getting more than what he got, you know, or they're parking him for the day, even though he parked himself because his car was wrecked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
I still, NASCAR went on that whole spiel that you're gonna know who the winner was, and you're gonna know the final results when we leave the track, and now we're back to announcing penalties on Tuesday and Thursday, or Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
It frustrates me.
They did get one penalty the day after, which is today was pretty fast for them. Yeah. So I guess we got that.
Yeah, I'm super happy.
They have
with
no
the
choice though. I mean it's
yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean they had no choice. They had to get it in today. And kudos to Hendrick for not appealing it because there's not much to say.
No.
You know?
No, there's nothing.
What's done is done. So
now if you're Chase now, do you admit it? Because, I mean, you already got penalized, so you say, yeah, I got him.
He won't. No.
I know he won't.
No, but he'll creep back into his vanilla ice cream box. And
you know what the big question is, James? The big question is, how much does NASCAR spend on sponsored posts?
Oh, I already retweeted it. I've already been on it. They're going to have promoted tweets scheduling that he's back in Sonoma. Don't you worry.
The happiest person about Chase Elliott getting suspended is Elon, because Elon's going to make some money off of it.
Yes, he will. NASCAR's going to be ready to go. Yeah, there's a good tweet. I retweeted it earlier. There's a good tweet about it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, there you go. We leave Charlotte Motor Speedway in the dust, and we're going to split this week. NASCAR Xfinity Series goes to Portland for the road course, and if it rains, we're okay with that. And the Cup Series and Truck Series are going to Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, where the weather is supposed to be good. So there we go. So we get to preview the week. James, you and I tied in points this week somehow.
We haven't had that happen yet this year.
Yeah, Chris Buescher and Kyle Busch were our
picks. Didn't lose.
I did not lose, but I did
not
gain.
You had a three-week stretch.
Yeah. Yeah,
we stay at 193.
When when Chris Buescher won that second stage, I'm like, oh man, it's gonna happen, and and yeah, then
I wasn't too disappointed in my Rowdy pick, although I missed out on William Byron. I could have pulled 55, so that's okay. I'm saving him for a rainy day. I've got a good spot for old Bill.
There you go. So I, as I said last week, have gone through and made my picks for the rest of the regular season already. There is possibility of some variation because obviously if there's something that really stands out to me, I'm going to jump on them. But I did some research for these and based this on actual results. And it kind of plays into the fact that he did so well this weekend. And James, give me old Ryan Blaney as my pick.
Oh, YRB. There you go. Ryan Blaney. Have I used Ryan Blaney yet this year? I'm curious.
You have not.
I have not. Yeah, I've got a few in the cannon still. I'm going to make a little bit of a strategy play here.
Okay.
This has got to be the best opportunity I have to use this guy, and I can keep some other drivers on my list of usable drivers. Give me Corey LaJoie here.
Nice. That's a good one, actually.
Yeah, this might be, now you've used him already. Yes, you couldn't use him here. So I'll take Corey, while he's in the nine car, probably not a winning move, but maybe he'll score some points for me here. This has got to be one of his best opportunities of the season.
Yeah. I'd really love it if it was at a better track.
Yeah, I know. Like if it was at Atlanta or, a place where he could legit have a shot to win, but
even if it was just a mile and a half and not, I mean, Gateway's so tough to decide how well he's going to do based on other performance, So,
yeah. And this is, fully admit, this is a little bit of a sandbag move out of me because I kind of have this lead here and I can, I wanted to use Joey. I wanted to use, heck, I even thought about Chase Briscoe here. But I've got some good drivers and I'd like to hang on to him here just a little bit longer and use them towards the end of the regular season here. So this might be a good opportunity to maybe have a good day and get out of there with maybe 30 points. I'd be really happy with that. So,
yeah, I think it's a great play. I didn't even think about it. This is excellent play. Obviously I couldn't make it, but, I wasn't expecting that one. That's a good one. I'm impressed.
Ah, thank you. I'm trying to win this damn thing. You've kicked my ass so many years in a row.
I know. Well, you got a pretty good head start. That's for sure.
Yeah, I did.
How'd fantasy go this week, James?
Well, we have a back-to-back winner. My brother-in-law, Mike. Nice. He did it again. So I looked this up. We have four races this year where we're 200 points and under. And he's won three of them. So I don't know if that's like taking advantage of the opportunity or if it's just, hey, when the scores are low, he's going to win. I don't know. But yeah, he gets the win. He's fast to the grass. So 200 points for him. Green Eggs and Hamlin was second. And Team Justin was third. I think the Larson wreck screwed up everybody at one point because I think a lot of us all had him last week. So overall standings, not much of a change. Barron Speedway is still top 100 overall.
Nice.
I beat him by I think 7 points this week, so I'll take it. Tandem Draft Tone is second and Mickey Elliott third. I'm in fourth, Rangers fifth, and Eric, you tumbled just a little bit. You're down to seventh.
I was doing pretty rough throughout the race, so it was not a good day.
Yeah, we're all still battling for second.
Right. So, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. But there you go. There's your fantasy update.
There you go. Any shout outs this week, James?
Yeah, I got a good one. Yeah.
All right.
On the website, twitter.com. if you go to at Indy 500 picks.
Yes.
Just have a field day. Lots of fun videos and photos on at Indy 500 picks. Don't do it at work.
Yes, I discovered that this weekend as well, and
I remembered it from last year, and it's fun.
Yeah, I forget who it was that I saw tweeted out this weekend. It's like, how have they gone this long without finding this?
It
is a treasure.
It really is what race weekends are like. It's not just Indy that is like that. It's my experiences at the track as well.
Yeah. To me, like Indianapolis 500 feels like prestige to me. It feels like, it feels like a Kentucky Derby type thing. Roger Penske's got this beautiful track and it's super clean and all this, but you forget that Indy is full of redneck fans and
and
college kids and
Indy 500 picks is what a joy.
It's kind of like the scene at Walmart.
A lot of people passed out laying in grass.
I saw a pretty good acrobatic move by a woman on a railing in one of the walkways. That was
pretty amazing, yes. So. Yeah. She does that every year, I think, okay. for them. Yeah. Yeah. There's that one. There's the inflatable. We'll just leave it at that on the, where the national anthem's going.
Yes.
There's the guy dressed as a Cheeto on there. I'm trying to think.
Let's put it this way. If you've enjoyed Talladega tweeting out the things they find after the Talladega races in the infield, you will love this gallery. Or this.
Yeah, this is good. This is just
way better than Talladega.
If you want to kill 20 minutes, this is how you do it. And yes. then, that was my big shot. And, you know, speaking of the Indy 500, Derek Winner, our buddy Derek.
Yes.
Wasn't very far from the tire flying off.
Yeah.
Which was the first thing I thought of when it flew off.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all, but yeah, scary I'm glad that, for sure.
Yeah, glad he's okay. He said he was within 200 feet of it. So
that Indy Star photo that they have of the close up of the tire and all the fans looking at it and ducking.
Yeah, I think he's in that picture, I would assume, or close to it. So yeah,
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
Well, Eric, we lived through this with IndyCar before.
Yeah.
Famously at Michigan.
Yep.
We had people die from something like that.
We'll say it was actually CART at Michigan.
Yes, by the time. Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Different era.
IndyCar did have an incident at Charlotte though that was similar.
Yes.
But yep. yeah, definitely. And I mean, they're the one at Michigan is responsible for Michigan and many other tracks getting a much taller catch fence. And one that goes way out over the track. I mean, if you look at Michigan, if you're sitting in the stands at Michigan, that catch fence goes halfway across the track.
Yeah, it's big. Yep.
And still, I mean, stuff like this happens. Indy's got a big catch fence, but I'm so thankful that thing went between the buildings and the stands. And sorry for Snowball, the car that got hit, but she did get to come and kiss the bricks, the owner of the car. So,
oh yeah,
good for her.
Yep. Yep. Hey man, I'd take it.
Yeah. I got a few shout outs, James. I kind of already did this one, but I'll repeat it. NASCAR, horrible weekend weather wise. And they got in every single lap of all four series this weekend, including the ARCA series. So all four series gets every lap in over the course of 3 days. So good job by NASCAR for getting that done. I wanted to shout out Clint Bowyer for calling out Chase Elliott when the incident happened and immediately saying that was intentional. And Mike Joy backpedaling going, well, I don't know. And then Clint going, no, that was intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony even was like, yeah, that was intentional.
I give Clint a lot of credit. He and Dale Jr. talks about that on his podcast this week.
He knows.
That's a big sword to fall on for these past drivers because they're friends with these guys. They know these guys. And these guys are going to be pissed at him when they do something like this. I guarantee you Chase Elliott is absolutely ticked off at Clint Bowyer and probably won't talk to him for a bit as a result of this, but Clint called it how it is and that's how they should do it. So gotta give credit where it's due for these guys when they're in these analysis roles, because not everybody does it. And it's good to see Clint doing
call him like you see him, man. That's what you're paid to do.
Yep. And lastly, James, I don't know if you were able to catch the absolute best moment of the weekend, but it was during the rain delay for the NASCAR Xfinity series when Race Hub decided to give a microphone to Carson Hocevar.
Oh boy.
And Carson went through the garage and interviewed people, and it was what the grid walk should be, because it was damn funny. It was so good. It was 20 minutes
second
of television.
Week in a row he's getting a shout out. He's gotten a shout
God,
out.
God, it was so good. It was TV gold. And for those folks at Fox who probably were so tired of coming up with rain fill, to have Carson Hocevar waste 20 minutes of their time, or not waste it, because it was excellent television. Good on Carson.
He's
making a name for himself, trying to get his personality out there.
He has got the it factor.
Yeah.
If he can clean it up and hone in on his skill set just a little bit, he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. He's a future Cup Series star. If he can get things reined in,
he's in the Noah Gregson.
Yeah.
Bloodline.
Yep.
For me. Yep.
Yep. Agreed. 100%.
Yep.
Any black flags for you this week, James?
Just racing in F1.
Yeah.
I mean, good God. I know, like, you can never stop going to Monaco. I'm not going to say that, You got to go there. But my God, I mean, Max Verstappen just gets out to a 25-second lead.
I was going
to
say,
it's just over.
I was going to say when we were recapping races, I forgot about Monaco. I was going to say, you know, congratulations to Max Verstappen for winning the Monaco Grand Prix on Saturday during qualifying.
That was an incredible lap to watch. I mean, that honest to God, that was the best part of the whole weekend. Everything else is just,
dude,
just a parade.
You will never see me not be amazed at an onboard shot of a car going around that place at speed.
That's incredible. No, it's incredible. It's incredible. They can't race there. They just can't race, which is fine. I mean,
I have the Formula One game, and I can't make it a lap around Monaco.
Nope, I am. No, I, yes, I know your struggle. I have finished a race there. I've never won a race there. That's as far as I got in F122. I could not.
I finished a couple, but without the reset, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I finished in seventh, was my best. I think that was my best finish. So, I was really, really proud of that too. I dominated that season, and that was my worst finish of the year, but by God, I was proud of that race.
Even with the reset, I usually crash out because I'm finally like, just screw it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
My buddy and I, we had a connected career in F122 and we both qualified. I think I qualified on the pole, and I was like, finally, I'm like, I got this. I can lead the parade around Monaco. And I think I crashed out. I think Checo definitely took me out. I was pretty pissed at him about it. He was my teammate too. So I was, I was pretty pissed at him.
I did see somebody posted a video of when they come, I don't remember what the turns are called, but after they come out of the hairpin, they come down and they turn right and go through the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
There's a road there that they could turn left on and run a stretch down and then do a hairpin and come back. That would add a passing zone to that track. Mm. And man, I'd love to see them explore that because they need something there, man. I get the prestige of it. It's a race that needs to be on the schedule. Man, does it suck.
Yep. Yeah. It's,
man. You pretty much watch the start. Yeah. And if there's not a pass going into turn one, the race is over.
Yep.
So, but I watched it. I watched the whole thing, James. I watched every lap of racing this weekend between ARCA, the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, and
I give you a lot of credit,
F1,
man.
And IndyCar.
I give you a lot of credit. That's crazy.
Yep. So
good work. I spent my evening watching 2 full hours of Succession and Barry on HBO because it was 2 series finales of my favorite shows at the same night. It was terrible.
So happy that they rescheduled, huh?
Yes, I was. I was happy that I didn't have the 600 on at the same time because I was locked in to HBO.
Nice.
So now I'm.
You know, most people just watch stuff delayed now, right, James?
Yeah, but it's the series finales. I couldn't let my 2 favorite shows get spoiled. Like Succession and Barry are 2 of my favorite shows of all time, so I had to lock in, and I knocked it out, man. I was in bed by midnight, but I was happy.
There
so.
You go. My black flag, James. You know where it's going.
Go for it, man.
Dawsonville Pool Room, man.
Oh, boy.
Dawsonville Pool Room. So Dawsonville Pool Room was very opinionated this week about the Chase Elliott incident. And I just had to point out to the Dawsonville Pool Room that Chase Elliott doesn't even freaking go to the Dawsonville Pool Room.
The guy who told you that he saw him eating a burger there was my favorite. That was right. My favorite one.
Like, yeah. Chase doesn't give a crap about the pool.
That's
room.
Funny,
come
Eric.
On.
I was in there eating a burger, and right. Chase Elliott was sitting at the bar.
Sure you
yeah,
were.
Yeah, sure he was.
It was a cardboard cutout, you dummy.
Yeah. Well, that person was just a bot anyway. Who cares?
Yeah, come on. At first, I mean, you're a freaking bar. You're not even relevant. Shut up.
I told you what to do, didn't I?
Yeah, go in there and eat.
Go eat there. Yeah. When you go down there, you go.
Yeah.
Go
to Dawsonville Pool Room. How far is Dawsonville from Atlanta?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I think we're flying in, so I won't be driving through a lot of Georgia.
Yeah, you should. You should definitely try to go there if you can.
Go in there and leave them a tip.
screw
the pool
account.
Room, yeah.
This is so funny. When I saw that, I was like, damn, Eric went after the Dawsonville Pool Room?
I was so annoyed, and then I got a reply from him. So, yeah, put it on the board, James. Put it on the board.
Oh, I did. I did. You pissed off the Dawsonville Pool Room. I definitely count. I count that in our game, man. Yeah. That was a good one.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at the Dawsonville Pool. No, at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message, and we might play it on the show, especially if you have something bad to say about the Dawsonville Pool Room. NASCAR is out of Charlotte. We're heading 2 directions, opposite sides of the country, just about. this week as we go to Gateway for the Cup Series and the Truck Series, and Portland for the Xfinity Series. We'll be back next weekend to break it all down and get you guys ready for Sonoma and the return of Chase Elliott. Can't wait. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.
It finally happened.
Oh, it finally happened. 281 episodes, and I finally forgot to hit record.
You've had a day, so we should have known.
It's been a day. Holy hell.